We apologize for this brief interruption in the show. As many of you likely know, the Higher Standard Podcast is officially sponsored by Transcend Company. Transcend has been my longtime provider for both testosterone and peptide therapies. But they offer so much more. Whether you're interested in health, wellness, or longevity, it all begins with you getting your blood work done. A lab draw will help you get the numbers and establish your baseline. You can go to transcendcompany.com/THSP. That's transcendcompany.com/THSP. Or you can click the link in the show notes on any streaming platform and on YouTube. Fill out your information and one of the representatives will contact you to get your journey started today. Now back to the show.
72?
A little bit of a...
Come on. It's, no, you need that 71.
No, 72.
You're a 71 guy.
Oh, yeah. I like it. I like it hot, but I like you hotter.
You know.
Yeah. Wrapped in your new Higher Standard merch.
How's it look, man? You getting compliments on that?
I like this shirt a lot. I like the cut, or surprisingly more than I thought I would. The oversized T thing I get what the kids like it.
The kids, I know.
Yeah. You know what? Tangent, but early.
Have to do it.
Why is the new, like, cool hip style for girls dressing like boys?
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's like oversized clothes.
Yes.
Lots of, like, oversized shirts and, like,
sneakers,
oversized, like, chunky sneakers. Sneakers? Yeah.
The hip sneakers.
Yeah, I don't understand. The whole, like, and maybe I'm just old now, and I'm willing to accept that if that's true, but I just feel like if I were young and single, and I'm not,
yeah,
and I were going to date somebody, I would want that somebody to look more, I guess, not like the way I dress.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
You know?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this, yeah. I don't know. It's like we had our thing, and now they're trying to take our thing. What's up?
Like,
why?
If you're going to dress just like me, it's awkward.
Yeah.
But you got to dress like you. Just don't do me.
Right. I mean, you got to also adopt the beard then. They got to have a beard too then, right?
There's a dangerous line that we're walking right now.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Whether you're just starting out or looking to brush up on some lessons from the past, today we're getting into lessons that we've learned that can help you invest for your future.
Why do you script that every time? You know what you're going to say.
I don't know what I'm going to say. How many times did you go over the transcendcompany.com/THSP ad?
It wasn't scripted, though. I just kept screwing it up and kept doing it over and over again. That's
and now imagine if it was scripted.
Nah, I would still have screwed it up.
You think so?
Yeah. All right. So we're going to get into six different lessons that anyone looking to invest should really be apprised of. And I'll be honest with you, as much as these might sound simple on their surface, there are times in my life, at least, that I can say that I have ignored these inadvertently and haven't recognized them when I've been presented with them. So the idea with this segment is to present you with these circumstances, give you some context, and let you decide whether you have made this mistake or you are going to make this mistake moving forward.
Or something that maybe you need to realize and just accept just to move forward, right?
Yeah, maybe.
So let's get into this first one. I mean, something that we've all heard, not just when it comes to investing, but when it comes to careers or, you know, even you hear it in movies all the time. If there's no risk, there's no reward, right? So this sounds a little bit cliche, right? And Chris can maybe dive into some examples from his own past that he can chime in on. But some extreme examples, right, are, okay, so something that's really risky would maybe be considered like a penny stock, right? Where you have a huge upside, but there's a lot of risk there that it's probably not going to pan out for you the way that maybe it's been sold to you, right? Or maybe you're looking to invest in a stock that's waiting on FDA approval, and you might get stuck waiting for a long time. The upside is really high, but what if they never get that FDA approval, right? Now, here's the flip side of that, something that's a little bit safer, a little bit less risky, right? Savings account, a CD, maybe a treasury bill, right? The risk is significantly less, so then the reward is that much less too.
Yeah, and over the course of my experience looking at other people's financials, my time as an underwriter, and even what I do today, I've seen constant reminders of the level of risk that people have been willing to take. And you know that weird, God, there is a, and I say it all the time too, I'm just guilty of it. People will tell you, hey, you know what, chase your passions. If you're passionate about it, it won't feel like work. That's kind of a lie.
Okay.
And I mean that with like all sincerity. What we all should be chasing is the skill set that we're good at, right? A lot of us have natural talents that we tend to ignore because there are there are plenty of people, like, for example, who loved something so much, they dove into it and sacrificed a lot for it, but that wasn't their talent. They just loved it. There's a guy on social media that I watch, and he does a parkour, right?
Okay.
He's a heavyset dude trying to get in shape. He's not very good at it, but he's learning. He's got a tremendous amount of passion about it, but he's not very good at it. And he wants to get better. I'm sure he will with time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in the business world, we do this all the time. We fall in love with things that we like, but we try to get better at it. And sometimes you just don't have that skill set, and it's better off being just a hobby.
Right.
So we kind of lie to ourselves and have this farce. But I will say, every entrepreneur that is chased after a business, I've seen so many businesses on the brink of failure that ultimately were incredibly successful later on. And I don't know what it is about being so close to failure that makes them cataclysmically better or bigger than other companies. But for some reason, they do that. And if you're passionate about the business and you're also talented at it, it's easier to push through because you believe and love this thing. So you'll push past where most reasonable people will be like, you know what? This is not working. I'm out.
Right. So is there something that comes to mind for you personally in the past?
Yeah. I looked at one real estate investor's portfolio, probably 20 years ago. And he had bought a lot of single family homes and then eventually got into multifamily apartment complexes. And to me at the time, like, that was like the safe way to leverage yourself financially and buy cash flow generating assets. And it was incredible. And then I saw him buy all these weird pieces of real estate, and I just couldn't figure it out.
What do you mean by weird real estate?
So he would buy vacant parcels of land. He would buy stuff that was like a tiny retail strip with a hoarder in it or something. I mean, all these like stories, like weird cases of real estate. And I finally approached him and I was like, hey man, like, I don't understand. Like, you've got this portfolio of like great assets. Like, you're making all this money. You can take all this money, save it, and dump it into another multifamily property, which is a sure guaranteed cash flow. And yet you go into these. And he looked at me and he goes, the best returns I've had on real estate that are outsized to the amount of investment going into it have always been from like these random ass pieces of real estate. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, look, I might buy a piece of land out in Upland, right? It's not very desirable now, but in 10 years from now, it might be very desirable. And I'll probably make more of a return on that piece of property than I would just buying a multifamily property and collecting rents over every couple of years. He's like, I'm not planning on selling that property. So to me, the cash flow is what makes me money. I buy these properties as my future income to myself when I sell them for more or less money.
Right.
He was essentially gambling on what he thought could be a long-term investment that would have upside appreciation. But he was making enough money to take that risk. And he got to a point where he said, you know what? I've taken safe bets that have gotten me so far, but I'm going to take incredibly riskier bets to go even farther.
Right.
That's a really easy thing to say and do. And it's easy for someone to listen and go, hey, Chris, you know what? He made a lot of money. He was worth a lot. So he could take on more financial risk because he was worth a lot, and him losing things wouldn't reset his life. Yes and no. You know, every business, and I really mean this when I talk about that has been successful, has had this precipice where they could have absolutely failed. And I don't know what it is and why this is such a reoccurring phenomenon in the business world. I was talking to Andy Frazella, right? And we were talking about entrepreneurship, and he's really into it, and he geeks out on it. And we started off exchanging stuff in the DMs probably a year or two ago. And it's escalated into, you know, just talking about business stuff that comes up from time to time. And I was talking to him about, you know, his company, First Form, which is a very large supplement company. And he was telling me stories about how close he was to failure on multiple occasions. And you think you see the success that he has now and the cars and the house and the lifestyle that he's very, you know, somewhat low key about. And you don't see all that failure, all that risk that he took.
How many times his back was against the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, so that gentleman that you're talking about was in a position to where he could, you know, afford to take on a little bit more of that risk, right? Mm-hmm. So, but how does he get there to begin with is he begins even investing, right? So the next step to this was another lesson was economic cycles and risk. This is something that, you know, according to the National Bureau of Economic Research, right? If you were to date back,
are they still employed?
They're still around.
I think we laid all of them off.
Did we lay them off?
Yeah, somebody laid them off. There hasn't been a peep out of that place in literally years.
I know. Since the Great Depression, they have declared that there has been approximately 14 recessions, mm-hmm. right? Since then, I mean, you can argue that maybe there was more, at least one more, right? Going back to January 1st of 2022.
I think we're still in that recession, candidly.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
That's my opinion.
So, look, understanding and accepting the fact that there will be economic cycles, to not try to time the market and just to play the long-term goals here, I think that was a lesson that definitely I've learned more over the last 2 years than ever before.
So I've got mixed emotions about this. Number one, I believe in dollar cost averaging when it comes to buying stocks, so I don't believe in timing the market. But I also believe in being cognizant of where the market is at so that you're not doing things that are foolish with terms that might seem attractive in this particular market. So a great example is people like, Chris, I want to buy a piece of real estate. And my own aunt is pretty upset with me now because I wasn't going to help her buy a piece of real estate if I didn't think it was a good deal. And in this market, you have to go a little bit beyond to convince me what a good deal looks like, because I don't think that rates are very accommodating to buying a piece of real estate right now. And I don't know what's going to happen with the Fed and the FOMC. And if I don't know, most people who don't follow it and track as much as we do probably don't know. So why are you taking that bet? Because some guy on social media said the best time to buy is right now. Now, oh, I didn't tell you this, but I was interviewed about Dave Ramsey being wrong about a lot of statements.
No kidding.
How'd that go?
They reached out to you specifically. Like, mm-hmm. We'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, it was a Wall Street Journal piece. This was earlier today. And I don't know if they're going to use it, so it remains to be seen. But she was asking me, like, you know, hey, he recommends that people invest in mutual funds for the long term, for the returns. And I was like, yeah, no, low-cost index funds, not mutual funds. Let me guess, he's recommending that you go through one of his contacts who's an undisclosed affiliate that he probably makes money on for referrals. And she's like, something like that.
Yeah.
The other one was he recommends that that if you go into a mutual fund and you're like a retired person, you can anticipate getting 12% per year, and you should plan on living on about 4% or living on about 8% and leaving 4% for reinvestment or something to that effect. And I basically broke down all the math saying, yeah, that works in the last 10 years. If you look at like the S&P 500 as like a, you know, proxy, but if you go back over like the life of, you know, these, like the S&P again is another proxy to like, you know, 1928 when it started, you're talking maybe 10% returns, you're 2% right off the top.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to sell this stuff with recent economic cycles. Getting back on point here, there's a lot of people who have either lived through terrible cycles and forgotten what they're like, who were in their late teens, early 20s, who grew up as entrepreneurs in the last 14 to 20 years, and you've had an unprecedented run spurred on by artificial interest rate deflation, economic stimulus that was unprecedented, and frankly, tons of cash in the system that people were willing to spend. So I think you'd be fooling yourself to think that there weren't cyclical risks on the horizon that were real and palpable. Hard landing, soft landing, recession, no recession, red rate cuts, I don't care. You've got everything from an indicator's perspective pointing to risk concerns that are real. And if you're a business person and you're an entrepreneur, or you just have a job and you're thinking about investing, if that doesn't concern you and you're not worried about it, I would say your perspective is off.
Absolutely. And just some examples, you know, from in recent history, you know, the dot-com crash. Right?
Yeah.
That was basically 3 years of back-to-back-to-back losses, which was followed by 5 years of gains.
Yeah.
Okay? In 2008, that was 1 year of losses. That was followed by 14 years of gains. Mm-hmm. Right? So my thought process on everything and everything that we do over in my household is long-term investing, kind of what you said, low-cost index funds. Yeah. Definitely no mutual funds, keeping the expense ratios down really low.
The argument could be made, though, that going back to number one, you haven't taken on enough risk to reap a larger reward because you like the comfort of knowing that you're financially stable.
Right. So the next step for me would be to, you know, now diversify some of these investments and maybe go into real estate or something that I know I'm comfortable with and I'm willing to take on a little bit more risk. Which we'll skip number three for now, but on to number four was benefits of diversification.
Mm. So I think a lot of people think they understand this. And unfortunately, in practice, you get diversification into the same asset class.
Mm-hmm.
A great example of this is we have a high net worth catering wealth advisory firm, right? People have a lot of money. They want somebody else to manage it for them. They have this money under management. It's really rare to see somebody who has assets in the stock market, lots of assets, who also has lots of assets in the real estate market.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they say, hey, Chris, I'm diversified. I've got all these assets. You go, well, do you own real estate, to the person who owns all this stock?
Right.
And they go, oh, well, I own a real estate investment trust, a REIT that I own vis-a-vis the stock market. And in some ways, you are diversifying your risk, but within your asset class, within your market.
Because that's what you're comfortable with.
Right. You'll ask a real estate investor, like, hey, do you have any money in the stock market? And generally speaking, they don't. It's much worse for them than it usually is for the stock market, you know, heavy person. And they'll say, but I own different types of real estate.
Right? And like the gentleman you said earlier, you said he invested a lot in single families and multifamily properties.
Right.
And then you start buying vacant land.
Yeah. So there's no real wrong way to do it, but I would say diversification generally means into different sectors, not diversifying within the same asset class.
Mm.
So it's really rare to come across somebody who's really diversified in all these classes and says, you know what, I own a business, I invest in the stock market, I invest in real estate, I invest in all these. And look, let's be honest, how much time do you have in a day?
Right.
Like, I mean, how much of this can you really monitor on your own and do on your own?
And try to build a career and and have time with your family.
And then there's people who would say, hey, well, you know what? Hey, I'm going to take what little time I do have, and I'm going to really focus in on one asset class and become a subject matter expert on this. So I don't have time to diversify.
Yeah.
And the answer is, yes, you do. It's just you have to figure out what risks you're willing to take for that possible reward.
Right. And, I mean, leading into the next topic here is long-term investors' advantages over short-term investors,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's a difference here, right? I mean, if we were talking earlier about low-cost index funds, right? But if you were to, let's say, start and you wanted to invest in short-term stocks, right, there is the negative side of having to pay higher a capital gains tax, right? That's something that you need to be considered and you need to consider. And it's just a little bit more riskier.
Well, I mean, I think the classic example here is like the Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, may you rest in peace, you know, perspective on the markets. They invest long term, they're value, you know, driven. And then there's everybody else in the cryptocurrency space who want money like yesterday, like to the moon, baby, you know, right. and you know, Doge.
Right.
Like the crypto investors who want to get wealthy quickly. I don't really think that either one of them are wrong per se. I just think that your 401k, your IRA should be part of your long-term investment strategy as a backstop. When you went, interesting story too, when you went viral on that TikTok clip,
mm-hmm.
you were up to 1.6 million views. I checked today that you're down to 1.5.
How did it go down?
I don't know. And then I went into the analytics and it said 1.4 in the analytics. So I don't know if it's
taking stuff away.
Yeah. I the world has had too much of your face, brother.
It's too much.
Yeah. I think it ruined secretly paying them to take it down. Can you remove followers?
Ever since they're getting banned now, they're like, wait a minute, we're going to start reducing some of these views.
Oh, when we added our merch to the merch store?
Yeah.
Holy shit, man. Like, there are so many rules to advertising on, like, YouTube and, like, merch on TikTok. I just want, now TikTok's suing the U.S. government, saying it's unconstitutional. They're going to lose, by the way.
Okay.
Like wildly.
Okay.
But that being said, I just want them to get shut down. At this point, take one thing off my plate, please. Like, I just don't. Yeah. I know it's selfish.
Yeah.
As you know, there's tons of creators out there who have lives that depend on it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not one of them.
No.
But long-term investing versus short-term investing, I'm going to give you some perspectives here that may be worthwhile. I got into longer-term investing, like I've talked about on the show, through low-cost index funds. And that was my strategy that we talked about in previous episodes, where I broke down the low-cost index funds from Vanguard that I started off with. And then I got into real estate shortly after that. And then I started buying stuff in the stock market with dividends that I had in my accounts and extra money that I added in over time. I started buying companies that I really liked in the news. And my classic example was when Lululemon's CEO came out and said that I don't make clothes for fat people. I was like, okay, that guy's gone.
Yeah.
But the stock price took a huge hit. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. The stock isn't taking a hit because the product is terrible. They're not hitting, you know, a stop of like woke culture, like hating the brand. They hate the CEO.
Exactly.
And what's going to happen is the CEO is going to be gone and the brand will go back to normal, right? Right. I guess, looking back on it, woke culture wasn't as big of a thing back then. There wasn't really a huge cancel culture. But I said, you know what? I'm going to invest while the stock's down and I'm going to make some money and I'm going to sell. That's exactly what I did in that instance. But to your point, there were capital gains implications because it all happened within 6 months.
Did the same thing happen when Elon went on Rogan? and he took a hit of that.
Yeah, so this is going to upset a lot of people. And let me just say, I am a fan of Tesla. I do own stock. I don't think that Tesla is something that you can make short-term gains on comfortably for me. Mm-hmm. To me, they have been so bumpy as far as their progress financially and their earnings and their reports and their quarterly stuff that came out. Frankly, since inception, it was them trying to make money, them finally making money, and then all this money is being diverted because Elon Musk has no reason to play by traditional rules of fair play, mm-hmm. right? He's going to play how he thinks most benefits him in the markets that he's focusing on.
Absolutely.
He's got his agenda, and that's, you know, frankly, it's okay. But he walks a thin line between market manipulation and the SEC in my mind. So I won't trade him like actively. I just think he's too volatile.
He was on so DJ Academics was live streaming the whole Drake and Kendrick beef over the last like 2 weeks. And Elon kept popping up in the comments section saying this is what the people care about. And like promoting it.
Is that on X?
That was on X.
I saw somebody, so I think we all have seen, because I tagged you guys on it, that Mr. Beast is turning 26, and he tagged people in his feed on on Instagram. There was over 3.5 million people commenting on that to win one of these 26 Teslas that he's giving away, including me.
Yeah.
But then when you go to X, X had like 300,000. I mean, it was significantly less. And I'm still trying to wrap my mind around what that means. If it's really, truly more people who are actively engaged on Instagram.
Really?
Or if it's people on X have a different prerogative.
So when I was listening to Academics talk about this, he said that most of the live streamers were actually coming in. It was like quadruple the amount on X, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, well, X has a lot of live events. I don't know if you used it. I don't think you have.
No.
Yeah, they do like a lot of live events. When you log in, it's like these big chat rooms and stuff, people talking it. I've listened to a couple of them. I don't know, man. It's so hard to manage and juggle like all these social platforms. So I'm not very good at anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's get on to back to this last one. We'll go back to this number three: permanent declines versus temporary paper losses. So trying to understand if a company is going down and under, right, versus maybe a slight dip in the market. Or let's just say if you've invested in real estate and real estate takes a little bit of a hit, understanding that it's just on paper, it doesn't mean anything to you until you actually are forced to sell it.
Yeah, dude. And I see this all the time where people will look at the, I gotta narrowly tailor what I'm going to say here. People will look at the headline and they won't read into the details. And this happens to me a lot as an executive at a publicly traded company. I will literally troll people on X. I did this the other day where someone was taking shots across the bow at the bank. And this person, under an alias, I don't even know if it was guy or girl, had a stance. And I responded, "Why is that?" And then they responded back in a way that I thought was somewhat cavalier. So I said, "And what gives you that impression?" And the guy whose thread this was, who was not who I was exchanging with,
right,
was clearly, he chimed in finally and was like, this thread has been making me laugh all day long. Because the guy didn't know who I was and didn't realize he was basically talking about me and our team as management.
Right.
But it went back to not understanding kind of the macro picture. And that's where I think a lot of people can get things wrong. Permanent declines versus paper losses. I would phrase it a little differently. I would say understanding the difference between temporary versus permanent sets of circumstances. And understanding that if a company has a loss, is it a strategic loss? Are they choosing to take one? Are their profits down because they did something strategically which they think will increase their profits in the future? It's easier for people to go, okay, you know what? Hey, Tesla's not making money now. But I know they're going to revolutionize the car business, and they're going to seriously change the way we think about driving vehicles, right? That was like the long-term play. But then you go, okay, wait a minute. They're not making money. Why would I invest in them? They're not making any money. You go because it's not permanent. It's temporary. They're going to make more money. And you can do that solely based on what you believe from a philosophical standpoint.
They're going to find a way, right?
Yeah. Now you look at Avis backing off of Tesla as an investment. They had a pretty significant order with them. They backed off and they're pulling out of the EV market. There's been a lot of pushback now on EVs in recent months and weeks. I know in California, it looks like everybody has one still, but outside the California area, you're seeing a pretty palpable slowdown of purchases.
There's all kinds of charging stations that are going to be popping up.
Oh, it's fantastic. And the Rivian now can charge in the Tesla chargers. And the rumor is that Apple and Rivian are in talks to do something.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. For what?
No one really knows for sure. They haven't said anything publicly yet. It's just some industry gossip. But essentially, Apple shuts down their CarPlay and their car they were working on actually creating an Apple car for 10 years. They shut it down. And now there's rumors swirling that Apple and Rivian are working on something together.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, especially as a Rivian owner.
Yeah, and as an Apple fanboy.
And a Tesla fanboy. So now I can charge a Tesla station and do all that. By the way, my Cybertruck order, I'm getting hit up hard by these guys. They're like, are you going to take this car or not?
You're not taking it, right?
If I can flip it to somebody, I might. Yeah.
He's taking it.
No, he's not taking it to keep.
No, I don't.
He's got no space for
it's
that.
It's too big. It's too big.
Finally buy a new place.
No, I can't afford one.
I hate
you, you guys are on a level
I, honestly,
that I can't.
Honestly, I hate that answer.
Huh?
I hate that answer, but it's so disingenuous.
I was talking to somebody who is worth a whole lot more than me. And he was telling me
He more than Saeed?
No, it was Saeed. I was talking to Saeed. I was just a little confused while you were confused. So Saeed and I were talking earlier, and Saeed was telling me about how he has his house here. It's worth a couple million. He has a house in Vegas worth another couple million, and he's got these mortgages. Okay, it wasn't Saeed, but it was somebody else.
Prince Saeed, yeah.
Yeah, Prince Saeed. And he was telling me about how much he makes, and he's like, you know, I make about, and then he said how much he made, and I thought, huh. And I'm like, how much are your houses? And he explained it to me, and you know, and he's like, I got to do this, and I got to do that. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I make more than this guy?
Yeah.
I'm like, am I cheap? That's not it, right?
You're not, cheap is, has a negative connotation
wow,
to it.
You're stuttering on this one.
No, you're frugal. That's the politically correct way.
I'm not cheap, dude.
No, I didn't say cheap. Who said cheap? I said frugal.
Frugal is a nice way of saying cheap. That sounds weird.
No, it's not. It's not. It's thoughtful.
Okay. If you bought your wife a frugal gift, you're buying your wife a cheap gift.
No. You definitely don't skimp out on gifts. Like, you make sure I know the gifts that you've bought Joanna in the past. You do it right.
I'm actually not the biggest gift giver. I like time. What's with the face? Why are you laughing?
You know, I got to go through the gifts. I got to tell you the gifts that I know about.
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Don't make me go here.
I just don't feel like that was warranted.
Damn, I was actually going to go the other route.
What was that?
Where do you spend most of your time?
Yeah, where's your time, dog? I don't see you going anywhere on time. You do the weekend getaways. I've seen you do those.
Yeah, I haven't been on vacation in a while. In my defense on the vacation front, I do want to go on one. It's just things have been so...
Expensive?
Not expensive. Unpredictable in the office as of late. I don't want to be gone for a prolonged
period
of time.
That's something that Chris definitely hangs his hat on, which is very commendable, by the way. I think... A lot of people in your position wouldn't mind just stepping away for a bit and going on vacation. You know that if the troops are in the office, like, you're going to be there too. Like, for instance, you're always there on Fridays till 5 o'clock. I don't know how many executives would actually be doing that.
Yeah, man. I was there the other night till like 7 something. I looked up and I was like, holy shit, I got to go.
Right.
The gym helps me leave a little earlier because I want to get to the gym before like the crowds. So that's what usually keeps me on target, but. I don't do that for anybody else. I just do that because that's just how I function.
Right.
You know? I do. This is going to piss a lot of people off. I know it. I miss the days of having consistency in work schedules. And I'm not going to say work from home doesn't have its value. I'm not doing that. Okay. Nobody, please, no DMs. And if you want to, Arun at irstandard.com, irstandardpodcast.com, whatever. I miss the days of consistently seeing your peers 5 days a week. Yeah. Selfish as that may be. I miss going in and having... I came in on Monday, dude. There was nobody in the office. There was like nobody. I was like, I looked around. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I went into the office twice over the last 2 weeks. My headquarters is in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It felt good going into the office, seeing people, just seeing leadership. Like, just... I miss that feeling.
I personally enjoy coming back to the office. I'm also very, very much responsible for drop-offs and pickups. We don't have anybody else to help out with that. And, like, it's too late for me to enroll them in after-school activities, so I have to wait till next year. there's a huge long waiting list. There's nothing I can do about it.
Bring him to the office.
That's unacceptable.
Wait, I think that was a commitment, Chris. So next year he will be in the office 5 days a week.
You can't hold him to commitments like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to go through committee. He doesn't have the authority to make that decision.
No, but me personally, I enjoy my time in the office.
Well, before we go on any more lies, shall we introduce people to the show?
I think so.
This is the number one financial literacy podcast in the world. This is the Higher Standard.
It's a little lackluster, dude. I need a little bit more from you. I could tell you're still very much upset from everything that happened before the show.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Sitting next to me, I'm right, my partner in time, the one and only Saeed Omar.
Thank you, my man. Sitting next to me on my left is my partner in crime, Chris Nahibi. Welcome back to the show, everybody.
Yeah, and the man behind the ones and twos, which have been mildly revamped, but with some minor technical glitches back there, DJ Arun.
Hello, hello. Yeah, bro, I'm gonna need a neck brace after this.
Is it that not good? You don't like that?
Oh, no, it's nice. I'm looking up. I have to move the monitors around, I realized.
That's going to be easier said than done. They're kind of bolted down, dude.
Yeah, no, I just mean, like, switch the screens around.
Oh, you want the one on top and one on bottom?
Yeah.
Flip it? Oh.
Yeah. And also, Saeed, I turned the light off a second ago, and you, like, looked over. Did you see my hand, or did you see the light?
Yeah, we're literally looking at your hand right now, which, by the way, is very attractive.
Yeah, an attractive hand?
Yeah. Oh, especially that finger.
Long story short, Arun's got a whole new setup back there, which includes an upgraded switcher. So we got a lot of positive feedback from the listeners on the guest episode, and something that we want to continue to do. And in order for us to do that, we had to make some upgrades. But there have been some technical difficulties along the way.
Yeah, we got a screen with a pixel out. We got an ATEM switcher. We're supposed to have 1 through 8. Physical buttons. It's literally labeled number 1, number 2, number 3, all the way through 8, except it's labeled. When I opened the package, I looked at it for a solid 5 minutes going, the fuck? It goes 4, 5, 6, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I'm like, did I fuck? I looked at the box.
Yeah.
I'm going online. Like, is it like a European version or something?
Right.
And then finally I emailed support, and support's like, yeah, it's not supposed to be like that. I'm like, you don't say.
Yeah. On the box, it says 1, 2, 3.
It just took me 45 minutes to figure it out.
Right.
But yeah, so we're going to have to do some returns and stuff. Mostly stuff. And my most embarrassing moment of the week as it relates to that technical upgrade was I had two large 32-inch 4K screens. We should have stuck with just 1080 ones because the damn ATEM that we got downscales everything from 4K to 1080 because it only works in 1080 and our screens are a little blurry now. So I think it's my fault.
No, it's not your fault.
Yeah, well, it's been a busy week of upgrades for the show, and for those of you who have been watching and following along, we have merch. Saeed wearing the Higher Standard Recorded in Los Angeles hoodie.
It's so soft. It's cozy.
It's warm, though. It is warm.
It's a little toasty.
The other one that we made that's got the white strings in front, I can't remember what
it's called. It's called the Fitted.
The Fitted, yeah, hoodie.
Yeah.
That is...
I ordered that one. That one's coming in a couple of days.
I ordered that one, too. Today I ordered it.
Yeah.
I am wearing the Recorded in LA oversized t-shirt that I am swimming in at the moment. And Arun is wearing nothing from the new merch line.
He's got some, though. I don't know why. Remember, he took a picture. He's like, man, the sleeves are a little big.
They are a little big.
And we're like, that's the look, bro.
It's the oversized look. I thought you would appreciate it more than all the rest of us.
No, everything else was so fitted except for the sleeves. So I was just a little confused. And explained.
That was.
Oh, gosh. That was a bad call on your part.
You don't even realize the misstep.
Yeah. So, what part in particular was fitted?
Yeah. Because let me tell you right now, bro, it's called an oversized t-shirt. It wasn't supposed to be fitted.
I think you ordered the wrong size. What size did you order?
Extra large.
Yeah, I'm a 2XL.
Let that sink in.
Yeah.
Processing.
Yeah.
Processing. Processing.
Well.
Odin likes to fill out his sleeves. That's what he likes.
So we've also revamped the website as well. So we have actually two websites right now. We have to merge. One, THS Pod, which will take you to the merch store. And Higher Standard Podcast will take you to the website where you can stream the episodes from any desktop computer. Assuming you're not using Spotify or YouTube or whatever it might be. We know that most people are going to go to the streaming platforms, but it's nice to have those out there and co-branded.
Right.
So it's been a busy week.
It has been. So if you're listening to this episode on Apple or Spotify, please head over and leave us an honest 5-star review. We got a new one recently. We're unable to read it, I think, tonight because it hasn't popped up yet. I think it's from Canada.
Canada, yeah.
So it doesn't show up on the Apple Podcast
app. Don't worry, you Canadian friends. We will get you on the next episode. The only reason we don't want to read it tonight is because we can't read the entire thing based on what we got clip-wise. So we actually have to have a Canadian friend send us that, and we will.
Yeah, and if you're watching us over on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe, ring that notification bell. Make sure you hit that like button. Let's get this video out to as many people as possible. Make sure you do all the moist, goody good sassafras.
I really contemplated putting that on a t-shirt, but I couldn't get it to go quite the way I wanted it to. So yeah. Stay tuned. So in keeping with last week's theme, my notable data for the week of May 6th, we're actually recording this as an uncharacteristic Wednesday recording on Wednesday the 8th. So two of these days have already happened. Monday had feedback from the 5-4 Berkshire annual meeting. Berkshire Hathaway, obviously this being a pretty pivotal moment without Charlie Munger, who has recently passed away, with Warren Buffett there. And
is this the first one?
I think that was the first one. First annual meeting with him. Passing, yeah. And a young kid in the audience asked him a question that made the rounds. And frankly, it got me emotional in talking about hearing Warren Buffett talk about his relationship with Charlie Munger. If you haven't seen it, it was a real testament to how they spent all their time together. I mean, they were really, truly friends, and they were kind of balancing each other out. And we're not going to play on the show because it's already a somber night because I'm a technological idiot. But it's worth a listen, and I'll link it in the show notes for you.
And for those of you that are curious, one stock in Berkshire Hathaway A is currently selling for $612,000.
That's all?
That's it. Just one. If you want one share, just so that you can attend that meeting, that's how much it would cost you.
That was double the acquisition price of my home. Was it double the price of your home?
No, it wasn't.
How about you?
Yeah, you also were fortunate.
It was 30 years ago.
Yeah, Chris, you did buy your home significantly, like.
No risk, no reward, Saeed. I knew the economic cycle, and I took the risk.
Yeah, but you see,
yeah,
you've been in the game a lot longer than me.
I was a long-term investor, and that was my advantage versus short-term investing. And time in the markets versus market timing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we like to call a recap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday was consumer credit and Disney results. And you might be saying, Chris, why does Disney results matter to you? I think what's going on with Disney right now, the activist shareholder suit and all the things that have transpired since then, really changing their brand is fascinating stuff. I've been following it pretty closely, particularly because I had a lot of respect for Bob Iger and what he did when he passed the torch to Bob Chapek as his successor, and he named him, and to see how Bob Chapek misstepped as a leader, and now Bob Iger's back, and people even question whether he's capable of doing it now, despite his track record. I found it to be an interesting case study in leadership and management. When having personally been through an activist shareholder in the not too recent past, I can tell you that I've got a new appreciation for what that stress is like and the proxy solicitations and the battles that happen afterwards.
There is a belief that a huge part of the woke culture that has maybe took down Bob Chapek, right?
It played a huge role in taking him.
It played a huge role in some of the struggle that Bob Iger has been dealing with. There's a lot of belief that that culture is starting to shift away, especially after everything that happened with the Tom Brady roast.
So I didn't see it, and I'm sure Arun has this in pop culture. Arun, am I overstepping here?
No, you're right.
Okay, yeah, there you go. I saw parts of it, and then this morning I saw a comment saying from Giselle's camp, his ex-wife, that she was very disappointed in the jokes that were made.
Come on.
At the expense of his marriage. And she thought they were disrespectful. And I thought to myself, bitch.
Was she mad that they're saying that she took half the money? Is that what was it? What was it?
Like, it was a roast. You had to know it was going to be shots fired.
Yeah. And I actually heard a lot of comedians talk about this today, actually, because I had a couple long drives and I was tuning in and, you know, I kind of get into this kind of thing. They're like, look. They think that conversations about the kids should be off limits.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Conversations, and I guess Tom Brady specifically asked, like, all the negative PR stuff that was going on with Robert Kraft and, like, the massage place, right? Like, that's off limits too, right? But he said because Giselle was a public figure, that's on the table, baby. Like, it's not like
that's
if
fair.
If she wasn't a public figure herself,
yeah,
right. I get that. Then okay, then she's off.
You're
limits.
A celebrity, lady, and like her romantic relationship with her what like jiu-jitsu trainer or whatever that was the guy was that was all over the press. You don't think that hurt? You know, your ex-husband's feelings?
But like, you knew what you were doing when you put that out there.
I'm just saying, she's done a lot of yapping.
Yeah, and it's not like Tom Brady didn't get the jokes, too. He was getting roasted.
And you want to know how I know you're a celebrity? You can literally yap about it in the news the next day and talk about how you're unhappy about it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you right now, someone roasts somebody who knows me, and they mention me, and I go to the press, and be like, why do I care what you have to say?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
shut up. Nobody likes you.
God, it was so good, man.
Was it? I didn't see it.
You have to watch it. Like, I know it's long. You're going to have to break it up into, like, segments.
Tell Siri to stop recording your conversation.
Oh, yeah. Siri, stop and listen.
Yeah. Siri. I probably will at some point in time. But to your point, so I'll never forget. I think I told you this story on the show before, but I was at Disney World. I was in Orlando with my wife, and it was our last day there. We'd gone to all the big parks at Disney World, and we decided we were going to spend the last day at their kind of shopping outlet thing that's over there. And they had a movie theater. So we walked by and we decided to see the movie with my sister who was visiting from Oklahoma with us there at Disney World. Was my sister? Yeah. Hard to remember. No, was it? Yeah. I have no idea.
Does it matter?
Fuck it. I don't know. We were there.
Okay.
I think my sister was there. Yes, it was my sister. Yeah. Okay. I blocked it out. You want to know why we stayed in this?
Are you still taking your creatine, bro?
I am. I'm actually starting NAD+. Transcend hooked me up with a ton of shit for memory and cognition. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I made the video that was talking about the nootropic effects of, SS31, which I'm currently on. Mm-hmm. So they sent me NAD+, and I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, but babe, there's a package coming to the house, blah, blah. She's like, oh, I ordered that too. And she called Anna from Transcend, and she ordered it. She's taken NAD+ before because she's working like an IV clinic. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're going to feel like amazing. So, yeah, I'm going to take a bunch of stuff from memory. But this one I intentionally blocked out.
Right.
And you can go to transcendcompany.com/THSP. Get yourself all hooked up on the longevity, the nootropic benefits, the just cognitive skills, the GHKCU skin cream for your face, which I've been using avidly. This shit's amazing.
Look at you, man. You really know this stuff. I mean, and even before that, just start off with getting your blood work done, right? Figure out your baseline.
Yeah, man. But look. As somebody who jumped into the peptide thing with a certain amount of knowledge that I felt was good, this is not like, I don't care if anybody listening to the show buys or not. Like, this is not me selling anything. And I know that YouTube's going to flag this video for me talking about this shit, so we won't be able to advertise it.
I know, man, already.
Sorry, buddy. But the truth of the matter is, I have learned so much about this stuff from Transcend, from them. I'm telling you, I truly believe that peptides are the future of human longevity. And we're looking at them because we associate these things with, like, steroids.
Right. They have a bad stigma to them. Yeah,
that is not what this is.
No.
There is a reason why Big Pharma hates this stuff.
Right.
Because this stuff doesn't treat medical problems. This stuff prevents them.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, once you get rid of the stigma that, frankly, is economically in their interest to have out there, and you start looking at these things that optimizing your possible future, it really changes the game. And now that I've done that, like, dude, the doors have opened up with the things that I'm willing to take and try now, to an extent, obviously. Don't go there. Don't do it. Be a better man. Be a better man.
I'm going to let it go. So hard.
I saw you you licked your lips.
Doors have opened up.
Not the
up.
Back one.
Come on, bro. Doors have opened up.
I'm telling you.
On things I'm willing to take?
Yeah.
You expect me to leave that alone?
Look, man, you make me the pervert, but you're the one thinks that I left. I didn't even touch that. You were all in there.
I was all in there. God damn.
Anyway, let's get back on target. So I was in Disney World. The show, the movie comes out. Damn it. What is it? I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I know. It was the Buzz Lightyear movie.
No, it was after that. It was it was the one where they had a mixed race marriage.
Shit, I took your kids.
Yeah. Well, so in the first 5 minutes, you got a three-legged dog. You've got an openly gay son, a mixed race couple, And it was just like all these things that were clearly catering to like gender equality and inclusion. And it's all good. Like one or two of them, like in a scene, like all good. But in the first like 5 or 6 minutes, it's like wham, 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 wham. And Florida is a notoriously like Republican, like conservative state.
Yes.
We were in the movie theater watching this early on, like it was like a weekday, and people were literally dragging their kids out screaming.
No way.
Because they didn't want, Strange World. That was it. Nicely done, Arun. Yeah. So yeah, I think that there was a lot of that which caused there to be some significant pushback. But also going back to the week, wholesale inventories were on Wednesday today, which I didn't get a chance to see because I was in the middle of fucking up our IT over there. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is jobless claims. I think that will be a very interesting report. I expect good things, which is good really things. Bad things.
bad things for individuals, good things for what the Fed's trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well articulated. And Friday, which is usually not a heavy day for data. You got the federal budget, you got consumer confidence, and you got the Fed's H8 asset and liabilities for banks, which I track a lot.
What is that?
So they do a lot of different reports. This is one of them. We're going to talk about the current status of assets and liabilities for banks, just like the title suggests. But for me, in my sector, I'm in banking, right? I want to know how this looks for other banks. I want to know assets in their case, right? Those are loans they have to other people, and their liabilities are deposits they have. Because they owe them to other people. That's their liability. Right. Right? I owe you. That's their owe. So this, to me, is going to tell me where those are. Are their loans going bad? Are they having deposit runoff? What does it look like? And these are for larger commercial banks. So
Got it.
Gives me more of a macro picture. A lot of times you in the media will get these talking heads and these people like Brian Moynihan, like Jamie Dimon. Yeah, skip all that. I want to see what your balance sheet says.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll be able to tell what their loan-to-deposit ratios are?
Not clearly, but you could reverse engineer it if you really wanted to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
We should do a whole episode on how to actually run a bank. I think, some of those ratios are really interesting for people that don't know them.
How to run a bank would be a great episode.
Yeah. I'm still figuring out personally, but one day I'll let you know.
Yeah.
shall we jump into the first article for tonight?
The goody good stuff. Yeah.
Goody good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your voice. He's staring right at you right now.
Yeah, Neil Kashkari. So I'm in my office, and I'm just sitting there, and I see his quote. Comes up. Fed may need to hold rates steady all year, Kashkari says. This is from Reuters. Quote actually goes on to say, and I'm not ruling out more increases. So I did the reasonable thing. I walked over to my Neil Kashkari picture in my office, which I printed out, and I have over by my giant bowl of mints, and I punched it in the face.
It's a true story. He does have it.
I do have it, yeah, next to my very, very graffiti-tagged Jerome Powell balloon.
Well, he's standing behind Jerome Powell.
Yeah, and he's got an all-seeing eye on his middle of his forehead, which yeah. I had a birthmark which resembled that. No shame in it, but I think his is wrong or broken.
Okay.
This quoting from the Reuters article, stalled inflation buoyed in part by housing market strength. You don't say, Neil.
I feel like I've heard that somewhere before.
Higher standard. He does follow me, which means he follows us.
Has to.
Should we send him some merch? Oh, we should send him some merch with his face on it.
A hat.
We gotta send him the camo windbreaker
with a sincere like written like note saying we're sorry to hear about your alopecia. Here's a hat.
That's good.
We hope you enjoy your cold winter,
right,
in Minneapolis. All right. Housing market strength means the Federal Reserve will need to hold borrowing costs steady for an quote extended period and possibly all year. Minneapolis Federal Reserve President Neil Kashkari said on Tuesday.
All right, so extended period, right? He made sure to emphasize that.
Extended.
So in December and in March, they came out, they as in the FOMC, in March they doubled down on what they said in December, saying we're going to have 3 rate cuts this year. And now they're starting to come out and say there's going to be an extended period of high interest rates. So I feel like...
Yeah, so I want to be clear here. Extended period of high interest rates?
Mm-hmm.
Is not the same thing as not cutting rates.
Okay, but it could very much mean
it's very
not cutting rates as much as we said we were going to.
I also have a follow-up to this that wasn't in the show notes that I was going to put in earlier today, but I think hitting you with it blind might actually be a good. So I want you to keep all this in context when we think about the communication from the Fed.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Moving on. I would need to see multiple positive inflation readings suggesting that the disinflation process is on track to support a rate cut, Kashgari said at a Milken Institute conference.
Just as a recap for everyone, disinflation, not the same thing as deflation, right? Disinflation is when the rate of inflation is coming down. That means rates are still increasing. Prices are still increasing year over year, just at a slower cadence. Deflation is when prices of things are being cut.
Which I could argue and probably argue well that we really need.
I mean, wages haven't kept up with him, so yeah.
Yeah. He noted that he will be tracking developments in the labor market, where you know a report comes out tomorrow, where a marked turn to weakness, a marked turn, is that what it says? Yeah, it does.
Marked.
Where a marked turn to weakness could also justify a rate cut.
Mm.
Oh, is it supposed to be market?
No. I feel like what he's saying is with the labor market, if we see that there's an uptick in initial jobless claims, loss claims, right? Or if there's an increase in unemployment, that could also allow the FOMC to, have a rate cut.
Well, here we go. The bar for a rate hike is quite high, but not infinite. I don't even know what the hell that's supposed to mean.
I mean, he's just talking in circles now.
Yeah. You know, Mount Everest is quite high, but it's not infinite.
You know, Chris, I like that, you're tall, but you're not too tall. You're shorter than some of the other tall guys. And your hair is thick, but also thin.
I believe the appropriate response was also not infinite.
Sorry.
Which is the total opposite of what Arun has back there, you fucking shrubby looking bastard.
This guy, it's his birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday, Arun.
Thanks, you son of a bitch.
How old are you now?
Somebody, you mumbled the bitch. Yeah. Why'd you get soft on it? We have an explicit rating.
Yeah, why?
38.
38.
Oh, fuck, man, I'm old.
Old.
For reference, you're the same age as my wife.
Yeah.
What are you calling her, bro?
I know. What was I supposed to say to that?
I know.
You're my dating spectrum right there. you're in my field of vision.
Field of vision?
I'm always in your field.
There is a limit when we say, okay, we need to do more. I think it's much more likely that we would just sit here for longer than expected or the public expects right now until we see what effect our monetary policies have. Thank you, Neil, for saying a lot of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely no rate cut in June. And now you're still at a coin flip for July.
Yeah, thank you so much for all the clarification and wonderful insight you provided me in your statements, Neil.
Here's the problem with this, man. We've said it on the show time and time again. We're not going to head down to that 2% target rate that they've said that they want to get inflation to without housing coming down.
No. And rent is coming down in some areas across the country.
It is. And I think that is in your show notes for later.
Is it?
I did see it.
Yeah, it is. I included that because I knew that housing was going to be a very palpable part of this conversation because you and I have long felt pretty strong about this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go on to the next one, Arun. I think after that, I'll hit you guys with the surprise additional anecdote. U.S. rental vacancy rates have jumped to 6.7% in April, to their highest level in 4 years. I know it sounds bad. Highest level in 4 years.
So rental vacancies, are we talking commercial real estate? Is that what we're talking about here? And are we talking about office space?
Rental housing.
Rental housing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is housing, rental vacancies. This is apartments, units.
Right? Yeah.
Good clarification. Thank you for that. This is almost as high as in September of 2017 when vacancy rates reached 6.8%. Since October of 2021, vacancy rates have surged by 3% percentage points as prices have been increasing. Meanwhile, the inflation rate for renters remains elevated and increased by a 5.7% year over year in March. The median rent price in the U.S. is near a record $2,100 a month.
God.
So you got vacancy at 6.7%, but you've got a near record median rental price.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Man, $2,100 a month?
Yeah.
Like, how much do you have to, the average household is making, we looked this up recently, like 70 grand?
Yeah, no, it's fucked up. That's the politically correct answer. It's fucked up.
That's
couple things to think about before we get into this chart, and I think this chart's very important, so we're gonna break this down a little bit. But Arun didn't push the start button on the clock, so I've been looking at 10:49 this whole time.
Me too. I'm like, man, are we only 10 minutes
into this shit? We've been talking forever.
I know. I kept looking over.
How long do you think we've been going
for? I'm guessing 49, 50 minutes, somewhere in there.
I'm guessing 42 minutes.
54.
Wow.
54 minutes?
Look at that.
Time flies with you, bro.
I know, right? All that yapping. Yap. So let's look at the chart. If you're driving, don't worry. We'll articulate it in a cunning linguistic way. September 2017, the high, 6.8%. You saw 6.9% in July of 2020. So pandemic era, right? That kind of makes sense. There's a mass exodus. And then 6.7% April 2024. The chart shows a wild drop-off, though, after July of 2020, down to 3.9% vacancy in October of 2021. Again, post-pandemic, people starting to kind of build back into it. And then you saw vacancies start to rise up from there. So you might look at this chart and think, okay, from 2017 to 2024, the seven-year period, oh my God, look at this random volatility. But let's scale back. Let's go back out.
Okay.
Arun, if you can give me the next chart, please. Daddy did the liberty of doing his own chart work.
Daddy.
Here you go. Quarterly rental and homeowner vacancy rates for the United States from 2000 to 2024. Well, wait a minute. What? When you zoom out and you go all the way back to 2000 to 2024, instead of looking at 7 years, look at 24 years, right?
Yes.
It doesn't look so crazy, does it?
No, it doesn't.
As a matter of fact, you saw a higher vacancy leading in to the Great Recession. And since then, we've been well below what we've experienced from 2000 all the way, frankly, to 2008. You had higher vacancy, even leading up to the Great Recession.
Mm-hmm.
And then vacancy has slowly trended downward. There's an argument that it's still within the trending line downward at this point in time.
So, I mean, where do you see this number going from here, though? I mean, with the median rent price being $2,100 a month.
It's expensive.
It's expensive. And I feel like, you know...
But people always need a place to live, and unless they're going to start cohabitating more frequently.
And it's not like we haven't seen that before. And me speaking from personal experience, when I'm looking at, you know, some of these operating statements for some of these properties that I'm underwriting, and you start to see utility bills jump up.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you got an appraiser who snaps some photos in some of these units, and you're looking at, wait a minute, there's beds in the living room here. What's going on?
Sometimes you feel like laying down while you're watching Seinfeld reruns, bro.
It's just their furniture, bro.
Yeah, I mean.
So you start to see, I feel like that's probably the path that people are going to start going on, you know?
Maybe. And look, that's certainly a possibility, but, you know, I just don't see it happening.
And there's a mass exodus in California. I mean, it's the number one state that people are leaving.
But they still go to other states to rent again. They're not going to buy.
Yeah.
The affordability to buy is even worse than this.
Yes.
At least you can rent right now and save a little bit of coinage. But when you buy, it's not ideal. That's why you can charge so much for rent, because buying is so expensive.
Right.
So now that we've gone through some charts, let's Jerome Powell has long considered himself to be, and by design, he wants to be, the most communicative Fed president we've ever had. He wanted to be open and articulate. And then I saw a clip of him, which I think I shared with you guys recently, where he was escorted by a security guard detail to his car. He goes to the press conference, you know, almost like a celebrity, and then he's rolling out, and, you know, there's caravans of black cars rolling around with him. And the light bulb went on for me. What if the best laid plans of mice and men have gotten to us again? What if it sounds wonderful that he's communicative and open? But what if you're oversharing and manipulating the markets unintentionally by being too communicative?
Man, put your tinfoil hat on. I mean, unintentionally or intentionally?
Well, I would argue, what's the intention here? What's the benefit for him?
The benefit for him, in my opinion, okay, and I've said this before on the show, okay? They need to have positive data continue to come out so that they can have interest rates stay higher for longer. Because if the negative data was coming out, then they would have every reason to cut. But they need housing to come down, right? Look, housing and shelter should be an industry and a sector that should be impacted and it should be interest rate sensitive, right? With what's going on, we've never been in a situation like this before where, you know, 90% of homeowners have an interest rate of 6% or less.
Yeah.
Okay. So you, there's, I mean, it's obvious why people aren't listing their homes. And one way for the government and the Fed to continue to stimulate the economy, right, is by having an inflation rate of 2%. Okay. With an inflation rate at 2%, it's just enough to keep people eager to continue to go out there and work, continue to look for higher paying jobs, to continue to go out there and spend, right? There's nothing better to secure someone to work for 30 years than to get them to locked into a home that they're going to have to pay and that they're probably never, ever going to pay off because they're going to eventually keep refinancing if they pull cash out or whatever they have to do. I mean, I know, I think 40% of homeowners right now actually don't have a mortgage. We looked that up.
Which is wild.
Which was a wild stat that we found out. But best believe that if the Fed and the government, right, I know they're not supposed to be working in cahoots with one another, but if you can get people locked in for 30 years and working, continue, you're forced to work. Otherwise, this you're going to lose the roof over your head.
Do people still use the word cahoots?
I mean, I brought it back for you.
I feel like they don't. Arun, have you used the word cahoots lately?
Not in 20 years.
20 years, two decades.
Arun has never used cahoots, though. I did this for you, and you're so ungrateful.
Why? How does that benefit me? Because I have a
I'm age discriminating.
From your era.
Yeah.
My era.
Yeah, era.
Era.
I mean, so that's the tinfoil hat piece, right? Get people locked in into the system, needing to work for the next 30 years. And here's the thing. There's a lot of people out there that want to buy homes and just can't afford it. And what are they starting to do? Oh, I'm just going to travel. I'm going to quit my dream job and go travel the world at 34.
I'm going to take a sabbatical.
A sabbatical? That was the best part. Bitch, that's not a sabbatical.
I almost wanted to make that a clip. Just did that on
I
its own.
I swear to God. That should be a sound button on our soundboard.
Bitch, that's not a sabbatical. That's you giving up.
Yeah, man.
Throw the towel in. Tell them it's game over.
It's over, man.
And you know, the sad part is there's more people that feel like that than actually talk about it openly. So many young people really just feel like throwing in the towel and saying, fuck it, it's just not possible.
Yeah.
I feel for people like that, man. I do, because, you know, it does seem overwhelming in moments. It you look at what's going on around you, the cost, the affordability stuff, and you're like, wow. I know multi-millionaires who are struggling to get by, barely making it right now. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, okay, how is this the case?
Having to sell asset classes just to get by.
Yeah, dude, I know. I've seen it, and I look at social media, and I've got friends who are crushing it financially. And you're like, okay, wait, how is there such a polar spectrum of people right now? And how can you not get down sometimes when you're going like, you know, like, why aren't I like that guy?
That's the side of social media that I hate the most. And it's you can't blame somebody, right? You're looking at them, you're seeing all the positive things they're posting. You don't really know what's going on behind the scenes.
You never do, but what if you put your tinfoil hat back on and you said, okay, well, that's what broke boys say about rich boys.
What do they say, Chris?
They say you never know what's going on behind the scenes because they don't want to accept that behind the scenes is just a lot of money.
Nah, come on.
I mean, that's what we rich boys say about you broke boys behind the scenes.
Oh, so you're now owning the rich boy thing.
You know what my dad did to me today? I took my dad to lunch. He wanted to go to like some random ass place for like a dollar foot long or something. I was just like, Dad, what are we, 12? Let's go have a nice piece of fish.
I taught Adam about $5 foot long. He's just going around the house saying $5 foot long. I'm like, come on, man.
Jared's a pedophile, but
he was asking me.
Can't do that anymore, man.
He was asking me, Dad, what? I'm not even going to get into this with you. I can already tell where this conversation's going, and I'm going to stop myself.
Look at you. She's exhibiting some self-restraint. So we go, and I pay the bill, and I didn't use my American Express, the black card. And my dad pulled a full Saeed. What? No black card? What?
Why didn't you use the black card?
You don't want to use the black card, son?
Yeah, why not?
In front of the waitress, and I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ. She's like, do you really have one of those? I'm like, no, I don't.
No.
Let's use my ATM debit card. Okay, let's go. So awkward.
You gave up on the points, huh?
No, I just didn't have the card with me today. I was in the car. I don't carry my wallet on me anymore.
Got it.
So unless I could use the Apple Pay, I tend to forget it every once in a while. So
yeah,
Yeah, I always get the ATM in the parking. Anyway,
so back to your thing on Jerome Powell, right? Being the most communicative Fed chair.
I think we'll look back on it and say that it backfired against him. I think he's been swinging the market too much, and I think the market will get kicked right in the ass by the level of optimism and disbelief that they have.
I'll be honest. I know that no Fed chair has ever been this communicative, but also given the 24-hour media cycle that we're in now, I can't imagine somebody being in his position and not being communicative.
Well, be communicative. Have your Fed conferences. Do your normal speaking. Stop over Neil Kashkari's statement.
These guys, that's the problem here. It's the other FOMC members. Y'all got to shut the fuck up. All you guys. It's just got to be Jerome Powell and that's it.
Okay, but again, they're out there saying stuff. People are listening. It's awkward for all of us, brother.
Yeah, and it's like some of them, but here's the thing. They're all coming out and they're all giving up different messaging to keep everybody on their toes so that everyone feels like, you know, all cards can be played right now.
That's that shit I don't like.
Look at you. You know, you want the tea leaves.
I do. I want the truth.
Well, we've been right on everything so far. So you know the truth. You know what's going to happen. Yeah. We've been calling it all along.
Recession, baby. Big-ass headline in the LA Times.
You want that. You want to frame that paper. Because it just, for you, it just says, ooh, I was right.
That's probably the worst thing that could happen for all the listeners of the show. It'll be on the fucking wall behind us framed.
Yeah.
It'll be that right there. We called years in advance.
Honestly,
like, I'm going to change my handle on Instagram to Nostradamchris.
Nostradamchris, you've thought that one through. I'm not a huge fan of I told you so's, but
I'm a huge fan of them. Yeah, I do all the time. My wife hates it. Baby, remember that one time? I told you so.
I don't say it. There's just a look.
Hey, Arun.
Yo.
Told you so.
Talking about framed and on the wall, what's that behind you, Sait?
What's this little thing? Oh,
yeah, did you
this little thing?
Did you grow a trophy?
This thing right here. Oh man, this little thing right here. My pride and joy.
I got to be honest, that's very large. Did you steal it from kids?
Did I steal it from kids? No, the coach gets this. The kids get a medal, and then the coach gets this.
Wait, you kept the kids' trophy?
It's one trophy. It's given to the coach
for the team.
No.
How much did you spend on that trophy?
Nothing. What do you mean? It was given to me.
You're not going to read it? What does it say?
This says the North County Basketball Spring 2024 Champions.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks, man. A lot of time and effort went into that. We've had a lot of rough seasons. It took me a long time to get these kids to buy in, but they bought in.
How much did that pay you?
How much did it pay me?
Yeah.
It's priceless, bro. The look on my son's face when he held that trophy, priceless.
I'm glad to hear it. But so you didn't make any money doing this.
I actually lost some years off my life. If you would have, oh, dude, you got to tell them about this championship game. They tried to give it away.
Bro.
It was, bro, when I tell you insanity, you wouldn't believe it. We were up 16 with 6 minutes left to go in the game. For second, third grade, that's like a 30-point lead, okay? Maybe 40-point lead. We were up 16 points. One thing leads to another. We're up 4 with 2 minutes left to go. I'm looking at my guys like, guys, what's going on? Hey, everybody needs to calm down. During that span, I had somebody, one of the players' parents thrown out the gym. Okay? The whole gym was going crazy. He was thrown out the gym.
What was thrown out the gym?
My assistant coach got teed up for like standing up because they said two coaches can't be standing up. I'm like, are you guys trying to give this game away? What's going on here? He got teed up for that. Because he stood up, they said, I lose my quote-unquote coaching box. So he made me sit down for the remainder 2 minutes. I looked at him like, are you putting me on timeout? Like, what's going on right now? After that happened, that's when the one of my player's parents got thrown out the gym. The ref was so upset. There was still 2 minutes left to go in the game. He walks over to the scorer's table. He says, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. He calls the game. He says, other team wins. And I'm like, we're still winning. What is going on? I can't control that guy. What do you want me to do about that? And I talked to the other ref. I'm like, hey, man, let's do it for the kids. My kids have been practicing and playing all season long. I don't know what's going on here. Let's finish this game off, please. The gym was going crazy bananas.
The parent didn't even do anything wrong. He was just literally just asking a question like, yo, did you see that?
Yeah, did you? And he had every right. He's actually, that parent is a very well-established referee in himself, like for high school, junior college, a lot of basketball experience. He played some Division II, I think it was. So he knows what he's talking about. And he asked that ref, are you not, like, I'm telling you, look out for this. The kid's riding my son. Da, da, da. And then he's like, he had enough. He just threw him out the gym. It was bananas, man. And for these kids to pull it out, I had to call a couple timeouts. Everyone calm down. Gain your composure. Everything will be fine. Droop a nice little play. Became Phil Jackson for the moment.
Bro, the opposing team's parents, they were going crazy too. They're chanting defense, defense the whole time, stomping their feet.
I'm like, this is second, third grade, bro. Like, what's going on right now?
My son has no desire to do this.
Oh, man. Dude, Adam, Adam was rocking a shooting sleeve. I had to tell Adam, please, you're not there, buddy. You can't be rocking a shooting sleeve. Like, you got to be making multiple shots a game to be rocking a shooting sleeve.
Does he have tattoos he was covering?
No, he wanted it because it's a look, because of what all the NBA players are doing. I told him I will never buy you this, and sure enough, the assistant coach on my team bought it for him for his birthday. Just to boost his ego. I'm like, come on, man. But anyways, the kids had fun. Very well deserved. We have a team party tomorrow.
Team party tomorrow?
They're having a team party. Yeah, a team pizza party.
On a school night? God damn.
Team pizza party, yep.
Where?
At the park where we have practices. Yeah.
And you're just going to spend all that time fattening up these kids you just got in good shape?
It's an hour, man. Come on.
Hey, can't out train a bad
day. They're actually going to have pizza and then they're going to go play.
Yeah, you know you're young when you can do that shit.
I know, I can't do that shit anymore.
I have pizza, I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Not I bad. Have pizza, I'm having Tums.
So it was really funny. So they hand over the trophy, they take all the photos, and then Adam like takes the trophy and he's like walking out with it, right? And he goes, if anybody wants to see this trophy, tune into the Higher Standard podcast. He's like, he's literally yelling it like in the hallway.
Did you tell him you're going to bring it here?
No, he wanted me to bring it here.
Oh. Okay.
He's like, I want you to bring it. I want you to put it on the podcast. That I want everyone to see it.
Oh, all right. There you
Dude,
go.
He's so proud. He's so proud of his accomplishment.
He should be.
Yeah. I never tasted that victory. Like,
I don't think I ever won a trophy.
I never, like, yeah, I always got those like bullshit participation trophies.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Why? Why would you say that?
They didn't have that during our days.
No, yeah. They gave participation trophies.
You just weren't playing in the...
you were playing in any sports.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. That's awkward.
That's awkward. Anyways, that's what that is. Maybe keep it here for an episode or two, and then I'm going to take it back.
All right. There you go. Well, Arun, you got any pop culture for us, or did we cover it all for you?
No. I got a few things.
Oh, yeah, I know, because that roast was...
Oh, yeah. All right.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so what are you guys' thoughts? Microsoft study, 75% of knowledge workers using AI at work, nearly doubling in 6 months.
Yeah.
At work.
Huh? I use AI a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
What do you use it for?
So I can't, we're in a very highly regulated business, so I can't upload like content.
Yes.
From, you know, what we're doing to AI, but I could easily tell AI, hey, I'm looking to write an email with this kind of tone. These are the circumstances. Can you give me a narrative? And then I'll get the narrative. I'll copy, paste it, and then I'll curate it to make it sound obviously like me and be more applicable. But it saves me a ton of time.
Yeah.
Or if I'm writing something and I just am having trouble focusing on rereading it, I'll run it through AI and obviously without the data and the pertinent points, but I'll run it through AI for grammar, for spelling, for syntax, and for some recommendations. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really good prompts you can get out of AI that can make your life a lot easier. I don't even really Google things anymore whenever I'm trying to look for data. I ask AI a question and then I expand the questions and then I'll say, cite your sources, and I get the sources and go look it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I use it all the time.
Can't remember which CEO I remember talking about this. Maybe it was NVIDIA. You're saying AI won't steal your job. It's the people using it will.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, well, for now, anyway. Mm-hmm. The evolution of this is going to be incredible. But yeah, it's AI is spectacular. And I love when I see like journalists. So journalists will come up to you and be like, hey, man, can you give me a written response? No AI, though.
Just out the gate.
And I'm like, look, dude, let's be honest about something. Okay. If I was somebody who was using AI, I would also know that there's AI Humanizer, which is a ChatGPT plugin. You just go on a ChatGPT, you find the plugin, say Humanizer, and you use it. And then I run my AI answers through ChatGPT's Humanizer. And then I know if you run that response through ChatGPT to ask it if it's AI, they're going to go, no.
No.
So don't tell me not to use AI. Just say, don't obviously use AI.
I mean, I think that's what they're saying.
It's just stupid. And then I had a guy say that oh, the response you wrote was plagiarized. No, bitch.
I remember that. You used the definition.
It's a definition.
What do you?
You didn't cite the source. I'm sure there's 15,000 different types of Encyclopedia Britannica.
Honestly, it should have been quite impressive that I was able to cite that.
I went to law school. What's negligence, Chris? A reasonable prudent person under the same and similar circumstances. I mean, you just learn definitions.
Right.
Apparently, you learn a finance definition. You're the devil.
Yeah, exactly. What Ooh. We got next? What we got next?
This one's a good one. Awkward. From 25 years in prison to just 4 months inside the final verdict on crypto billionaire CEO.
CZ. That's his name. His nickname, anyways. Cheng I saw this.
Cheng Peng Zhao.
Yeah, this is the CEO of Binance.
Yeah, dude, first of all, not only did he only get 4 months, he negotiated some weird-ass deal, but it got no headline coverage.
I saw it. I was going to bring it up the other day, but I couldn't find a way to weave it in.
I think people just don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah. But he was...
So is crypto dead?
He's going in there for, obviously, not the same thing as SBF. So and that's a little misleading, too, right? 25 years versus the 4 months.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't really gotten him for anywhere near the same.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's fully on.
Whoa. Shit. Yeah. Yeah. Kurt Event.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Kurt camera going like, this fucker is still on me.
And you know the motherfucker is going to edit it and take himself off.
No, he's not.
I might. Yeah.
Cut. What else you got? Let's keep this guy awake. Give me something good.
There we go. So what else happened with this, Saeed? 2024 has been the year of diss tracks.
It has been the year of diss tracks. Look, this is starting to get a little spicy. Have you been keeping up to date with any of this?
No.
I have not either. So update us.
Nothing, huh?
No, I got to be honest. I still don't fully understand it.
Apparently, Drake's house has been shot at. And the security guards, one of the security guards in the that was standing out front is in fatal condition.
I mean, you don't really think Kendrick Lamar drove up there and shot somebody, do you?
Not he himself.
So he paid somebody to shoot shots at Drake? What is his beef over?
I really don't
Drake
understand.
Drake is not black enough.
Is not black enough?
No, that was the most recent. That was the most recent diss track. Oh. But a lot of people are coming out the way. And it's not just them, too. I guess Chris Brown and Quavo are going at it pretty hard. That's over a girl. But right now, Drake's taking on like 10 people at one time by himself.
Is it a PR move or? Like
physically?
No, see, I was thinking that because, you know, back in the day when Kanye and 50 had their little thing, that was, looking back on it, clearly a PR stunt. You know, it's like, I'm going to sell more records than Kanye. I'm going to sell more records than 50. Guess what's going to happen? Kanye's listeners are going to come over and listen to 50 stuff to see if it's good. Some of 50's loyal listeners are going to go over. That was clearly a PR stunt. You know, that kind of stuff's been going on for a long time. The kind of things that these guys are saying, okay, like Kendrick went out of his way to call Drake up. I can't say the word because I think we'll get flagged on here, but you know, going after a certain age demographic that he's not supposed to be going after. Okay, so
I don't know what word that is.
I'm not trying to get the video flagged, so you can obviously figure that out. But even if that's like completely wrong, and like Drake just like isn't even acknowledging it, because it's like if you acknowledge it, it's just as bad. Like you're acknowledging that he said it, right? And even if it's not true, but he's coming out saying that. Drake's saying, accusing him of like beating his wife. And it's all bad, man.
And how does this end? Tupac and Biggie?
I hope not. That'd be tragic. You never want to see that.
I don't think.
But some of the songs, honestly, some of the songs, I did not know that they were both capable of all this. It's been really, really good. No, like,
but these are not gangsters. These are very rich men.
I think Kendrick comes from that lifestyle. Obviously, Aubrey doesn't.
You call him Aubrey.
That's the homie.
Who's Aubrey?
Drake. Drake's real name is Aubrey.
Aubrey.
Yeah, it's awkward for all of us. Met Gala?
Yep. Did you guys see this?
No.
Yeah.
Even Katy Perry's mom was fooled by what appeared to be an AI-generated Met Gala pics. So basically, Katy Perry did not attend the Met Gala, which was, I think, over the weekend. Mm-hmm. However, a photo was created of her that looked like she attended.
That doesn't even look like her. That looks like a mixture of her and Khloe Kardashian.
Have you ever seen Katy Perry without makeup on?
No.
It's not good.
But so, yeah, this is kind of going back to what Chris was talking about, like, just a few weeks ago. AI, dude, like the shit that it can create.
I use AI in Photoshop for all of our thumbnails.
Mm-hmm.
I use AI to render images. Then I use Photoshop to edit those images in AI. Now AI is coming to Final Cut Pro on the new Apple announcement. So
I can't remember what AI had generated, you know, 6 months ago or but it was some type of explosion somewhere in the U.S. Maybe it was another plane crash or something, which was an AI-generated picture, and it affected the stock markets.
Oh, dude.
And then it quickly, the stock markets luckily quickly rebounded, right? But it goes to show, like, I mean, at some point, they're gonna need to develop some type of, well, here you go, Odin pulled it up, fake viral image of an explosion at the Pentagon were probably created by AI. Well, we've now, yeah, that was it. And we found out that it, in fact, was created by AI. When this initially came out, for like several hours, it affected the stock market.
I can't wait till we actually have real aliens land somewhere in the United States or something like that. They land, come out, they look around. They ask about the Kendrick Lamar beef. They get back in their little UFO and they fly off. And the U.S. government goes, hey. It's, no. Okay, look, I know what you guys are thinking. That we're going to come out and say it's a federal experiment, that we're testing planes, that, you know, no, we're not. Come on.
Yeah.
It's AI.
Yeah.
It's going to be the new excuse for everything.
Yeah, it's a new scapegoat.
Baby, I didn't cheat on you.
That's AI, baby.
That's AI.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
So she
caught
me.
Sounds just like you. That's AI, baby. I pissed off Saeed. He went home.
I caught you on the counter.
Huh?
I caught you on the counter, Chris.
Yeah, no, that's AI.
Wasn't me?
It wasn't me.
See, Shaggy knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Tiffany Haddish started tracking down on her online trolls and calling them on the phone. I saw this, and I automatically thought Chris would do some shit like this.
No, I don't have that kind of time.
Really?
What did she get canceled for? She got canceled for something pretty bad.
DUI.
No, it was worse than that. There's more to it. Something, she got like double whammy, triple whammy. Like a lot of stuff came out.
About her?
Yeah.
Like what?
I can't remember what it was. And I have a feeling like I know what it was, but I don't want to misspeak.
What do you think it was?
It had to do with some
stuff.
Some harassment.
Come on, man.
Some sexual harassment.
She was sexually harassing somebody?
I think so.
Huh.
Just, you should Google, what did she get canceled for? Here you go. There you go.
What was it? I can't read that far.
I'm not reading
Put
that.
Put your glasses on.
Yeah, I can't read that.
I'm not reading that.
Yeah, I'm not reading that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you know why?
She did bad things to little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the allegation, we should say.
So trolls went at her, and then what?
So she's calling people.
Her team is finding out their phone
numbers. He's right. You're not above that shit.
Yeah. No. My favorite part is Chris is like,
You do not call people, but I'm saying, like, if it were to happen, you might be like, listen, motherfucker, why don't you come on the podcast? We could talk this out.
No. So let me be very clear, okay? There's two types of classic Chris reactions.
Yes.
Actually, three. Okay, there's three. Number one, if you're on social media and you have a public profile and you're throwing out some bullshit,
right,
you go get called out for some bullshit.
Right.
Okay. That's not me. That's you.
Okay.
And if I'm doing the same shit, you're welcome to do it to me too.
Yeah.
Because you know what? We're out here.
Fair game.
Yeah. Like, I'll be Aubrey, you be Kendrick.
Yeah. You want the smoke? I want the smoke.
Like, let's go.
Let's go.
Just know shots are coming from me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Like, just have your bodyguard stand out front.
Right.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Right? The other kind of thing is if you send me some stupid ass DM.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put you on blast.
I love this. I love this new thing that you're doing. Every single one of them.
Every single one of them. I'm not going to be, everyone's not going to be treated the same. Like, I'll give you the courtesy of, like, giving you a respectful answer. If you fuck with me and I fuck with you, whatever, you know? Yeah. But if you say some stupid ass shit like, yo, love your page, Christopher.
Oh, bro.
Bitch, you don't even follow me. Shut up.
You give them a chance first. Like, I always
give them a chance.
You say, does this really work? And he's like, okay, now come with a better response than, yep.
Yep.
Like, I need a better response than that.
Or the ones that send me, like, voice messages, like, oh, he can't screenshot this. Bitch, I will screen record it, and I will play it for the world.
Right, exactly.
I am not above this.
There's a thing, I think it was recent. Denzel was coming out of a store. Did you see this? Denzel was coming out of a store, and he's like, hey, guys, the paparazzi's taking photos or whatever. And he stops, and he notices one of the paparazzi's was a female. Mm-hmm. And he gave her a special shot. I was like, oh, damn, look, females are out here today. Y'all doing this, too. Good for you, this and that. And he, like, stops and starts to talk to her. Okay, and he says, here you go. Was this recent? Or did I just catch it, like, late? Yeah, yeah. This is exactly the video that I saw. Okay, so I'll just say it so we don't get flagged for it. So he stops, and he starts to have, a heart-to-heart conversation with the female photographer, okay? Mm. The paparazzi member. And he's trying... Bro, he gives her a chance. Like, I might... It almost felt like I will get you connected. He says... So what's your dream job? What you out here? What you doing? And she just fumbles it like, she's answering confidently, but she fumbles the opportunity and says, oh, I just like being a photographer. And he's like, yeah, but like a photographer for what? Like what gets you excited? Like what makes you want, like, why do you want to do this? You just want to take pictures of celebrities coming out of stores? Like, no, you're like, what's your real passion? He's like, I like to take pictures of things. And he's just like, come on, dog. Like, I'm trying to help you. Like, I will get you somewhere. And then, look. She totally fumbles the bag.
Hey man, look, not everybody's articulate, brother.
Yeah. You gotta have a response ready.
And then there is a third kind of Chris response where if you say something wildly inappropriate and it offends me, I will track you down and send you a box of dicks from Amazon.
Candy dicks. Eat a bag of dicks.
I will send you an edible bag of dicks. I have done it before.
Yeah, he has done it before.
I once sent my sister. She in Oklahoma for no reason. Like, there was no reason to do it.
Just
like,
to do it.
We hadn't spoken in a while, and I just kept sending her dick paraphernalia to her house.
Yeah.
For like a week, every day a box from Amazon would show up with some kind of dick object, right? Like, one was a dick shirt, one was like dick candy.
Yeah.
And she didn't say shit.
Yeah.
For like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Months go by, I forget about all the dicks.
Yeah.
Right? Finally, I'm like, hey, did you ever get a week-long, like, she's like, yeah, was that you? I'm like, yeah, who else would be? I thought it was my friends. And I'm like, what kind of
fucked up friends do you got?
What kind of friends send you a bunch of dick shit? You don't even talk about it.
By the way, so, you know, at the Tom Brady roast, you know what happened?
No,
so,
I told you they watched.
Do you know Rob Gronkowski? You know, that's the tight end. Yeah. Brady's tight end is like this major goofball party guy. He apparently takes a shot on stage, like a shot, right? Okay. And he takes the shot glass, and he's just like, if you know anything about him, like, he's always living in the moment, and he just does things, like, spontaneously. And his big celebration every time he used to, like, score touchdowns is, like, spiking the football, right?
Okay. Sounds like a smart guy.
Yeah, very, very intelligent. So he takes this shot, and he spikes the shot glass.
Ooh, stupid.
So stupid. Bro, it ricochets. And it hits some girl, like, in the front row.
Of course it does.
Yeah, of course it does. And I don't know, there's some kind of direct head-on, like, to her cheek.
Bleeding?
Like, I'm sure. Did you see this, dude?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
Don't play it.
No. I think it gets cut and it doesn't even make the air. Like, everybody was talking about it today. Mm. And then Kevin Hart comes out on stage, apparently handles it, like, world-class. Calm, diffuses the situation. And then... Schultz is able to go on. But yeah, dude, like, can you imagine? What would you do? What would you do if Gronkowski?
Oh, I'd call my lawyer.
Really?
Right away.
You wouldn't find a way to leverage, you wouldn't take a shot to the face to leverage it for the podcast?
Yeah, I would call my lawyer, be like, look, we're suing this Rob
I feel like you lose a lot of credibility with the fans, bro.
Fucking Chris. Yeah. This Rob, this
Gronkowski guy.
Yeah, this Thomas.
This
Brady.
Big stupid motherfucker.
This fucking Hall of Famer, bro.
Do me a favor. While you're at it, can you send him my usual box of dicks? The big one.
The usual. Yeah. Run it.
Just send him my routine order of dick boxes, will you?
That's so good.
I sent somebody a copy of a signed book that I have from somebody who's pretty notable, which I'll talk about in another show, but sent me a bunch of copies of the signed book. So I took the signed book and I put it in a bunch of really small plastic dicks I got from Amazon. That's what I packed it in. And I sent the box. I mailed the box to New York. I'm just waiting for the guy to call me. It was packed in there heavy. There's a lot of dicks.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. This is the kind of shit I do on Amazon. Amazon was a bad thing for me, man. I got too much access to shit that I shouldn't have access to. my wife loves ordering packages. And every day I come home, it's like always boxes. Now our new thing is Temu. So now I'm like scrolling on Temu when I'm in the bathroom.
I don't know about this. What is Temu?
Temu is like just think about Amazon, but cutting out the middleman.
Oh, okay.
People are buying stuff from Temu and selling it to Amazon. Just go straight to Temu, but it's all come from China, right?
Okay.
So I want to find somebody who manufactures plastic dicks and have a big box sent to my wife in her name.
That's your thing.
And then see if she'll tell me that this box showed up. Did you order that, honey?
Yeah. What is this?
It's been a dick episode. All right. Let's call it a wrap before we get ourselves more graphic.
Right. What do you got? Anything?
Nope. All done.
Yeah.
Christopher?
The new screen setup wasn't terrible in here. I think it was okay.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. We'll see how the episode comes out. I don't got anything either. All right, then.
All right. Shall we?
Please.
Yeah, I'll try my best.
I hate it so much.
Give me the soft one. Hey.
Good night, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Better.
Yeah.